Our help is in the name of the Lord, who made heaven and earth, who keepeth truth forever, and who never forsaketh the works of his own hands. Amen. Grace be unto you and peace from him which is, and which was, and which is to come, and from the seven spirits which are before his throne, and from Jesus Christ, who is the faithful witness, and the first begotten of the dead, and the prince of the kings of the earth. Amen. A congregation, let us sing together of Psalter 217, the four stanzas. Remember not, O God, the sins of long ago. In tender mercy visit us, distressed and humbled low. And what follows, 217, the four stanzas. The portion out of God's holy word, which we wish to read together, can be found in Job 33. First, the 12 articles of our Catholic undoubted Christian faith. I believe in God the Father Almighty, a maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only begotten Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Ghost, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead and buried. He descended into hell. The third day he rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sitteth at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence he shall come to judge the quick and the dead. I believe in the Holy Ghost. I believe in Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. Job 33. Wherefore, Job, I pray thee, hear my speeches, and hearken to all my words. Behold, now I have opened my mouth. My tongue has spoken in my mouth. My word shall be of the uprightness of my heart, and my lips shall utter knowledge clearly. The Spirit of God hath made me, and the breath of the Almighty hath given me life. If thou canst answer me, set thy words in order before me, stand up. Behold, I am according to thy wish in God's stead. I also am formed out of the clay. Behold, my tears shall not make thee afraid, and neither shall my hand be heavy upon thee. Assuredly thou hast spoken in my hearing, and I have heard the voice of thy word, saying, I am clean without transgression, I am innocent, and neither is there iniquity in me. Behold, he findeth occasions against me. He counted me for his enemy. He putteth my feet in the stocks. He marketh all my paths. Behold, in this thou art just. I will answer thee that God is greater than man. Why dost thou strive against him? For he giveth not account of any of his matters. For God speaketh once, yea, twice, yet man perceiveth it not. In a dream, in a vision of the night, when deep sleep falleth upon men, in slumberings upon the bed, then he openeth the ears of men and sealeth their instruction, that he may withdraw man from his purpose and hide pride from man. He keepeth back a soul from the pit and his life from perishing by the sword. He is chastened also with pain upon his bed, and the multitude of his bones with strong pain, so that his life abhorreth bread, and his soul dainty meat. His flesh is consumed away, that it cannot be seen, and his bones that were not seen stick out. Yea, his soul draweth near unto the grave, and his life to the destroyers. If there be a messenger with him, an interpreter, a one among a thousand, to show unto man his uprightness, then he is gracious unto him, and saith, deliver him from going down to the pit. I have found a ransom. His flesh shall be fresher than a child's. He shall return to the days of his youth. He shall pray unto God, and he will be favorable unto him, and he shall see his face with joy, for he will render unto man his righteousness. He looketh upon men, and if any say, I have sinned, and perverted that which was right, and it profited me not, he will deliver his soul from going into the pit, and his life shall see the light. Lo, all these things worketh God oftentimes with man, to bring back a soul from the pit, to be enlightened with the light of the living. Mark well, O Job, hearken unto me, hold thy peace, and I will speak. If thou wast anything to say, answer me, speak, for I desire to justify thee. If not, hearken unto me, hold thy peace, and I shall teach thee wisdom. Let us try to ask the Lord for a blessing. Merciful Lord of the heavens and of the earth, it is for the third time on this holy day of rest that the doors of thy house have been opened, and a portion of the congregation has come up by renewal to thy courts. May that be our burden, may it become our guilt. Wilt thou remember those that remain in their dwellings? Lord, may it please thee to remember and bless us. We have heard in this afternoon, not by might, nor by power, but by my Spirit, saith the Lord of hosts. It is written in thy word, that by the foolishness of preaching, that thou shalt save some. Ah, Lord, may it be many. We all stand in need of the same thing. How terrible it shall be to have heard law and gospel from our youth, that there is a way for the chiefest of sinners to be saved through thy beloved Son, when the callings, the invitations have come unto us, and then to stand outside, ah, Lord, to that end thou knowest, that never one shall come unto thee in the right way. Ah, there can be those that want to escape hell. And to that end, in this evening hour, wilt thou pour thy love abroad in many hearts, that by the first time, by renewal, and then the heart shall begin to melt, and then it shall be humbled, and then the eye shall be upon thee, begging of thee, for thy favor, O Lord, we need the pardoning of our sins. If they have not been washed and blotted away by the precious blood of Christ Jesus, then they are still all on our account. May that reality be impressed upon all our hearts. Convert what is unconverted. Spare from building upon sandy foundations. Grant the further leadings in the life of thy people. Well, thou grant the strengthening of faith. Bless thy holy word in the church on the Sabbath day during the week. Bless the instruction in the catechism classes, the confession of faith class. Bless the house visitations, all the manifold labors. Do bless thy word in the family circles. Do help fathers and mothers to that end. Bless thy word in our Christian school. By renewal we commend unto thee the school board and their weighty and responsible task. Grant traveling mercies from day to day. Remember all the instructors, the administration. Well, thou remember all the students, for those that have more difficulty, that they become not overly discouraged. May they come more on their knees. And for whom thou hast given many talents, may they be given to use them and to be spared from pride and help their fellow students that have not so many. Lord, by renewal, then we remember all the temporal needs. In the day of tomorrow, our second oldest member, a widow, hopes to remember that thou was added another year unto her years, as she may still be in her own dwelling, though still granteth remarkable health and strength. But, O Lord, as she has become old and coming closer to that never-ending eternity, may she be given to cry mightily unto thee, that ye may be prepared at the end. We commend unto thee also a husband and wife. They are the longest married couple in the midst of the congregation, and at the end of this week they hope to commemorate that thou wast spared, that thou wast cared, provided, and protected for another year in the bond of holy matrimony. Thou still granteth remarkable health and strength. Ah, grant a good day, grant a humble heart under all thy goodness. Well, thou remember all family circles, husbands and wives. May love abound more and more when it is not so. May there be examination. May there be a speaking. May there be repentance. And may they be given to beg of thy help. Well, thou remember parents and children. Lord, what has been separated, may it please thee in the family circles to bring it together according to thy holy word. Well, thou remember those that struggle with addictions and temptations. May they come oftentimes on their knees. May they be given to use the means in seeking help, and that they may be delivered in thy strength. We commend unto thee by renewal all the mourning ones, O Lord. Those empty places, they remain so empty, so sorely felt. Well, thou continue to uphold them. Well, thou remember all under the physician's care, all those that stand in need of healing and of strengthening. May all the callings be sanctified. Well, thou remember the sick relatives, the different circumstances. They are known unto thee. We commend unto thee the handicapped in our midst. Oh, may their eyes be upon thee, and in their difficult condition, oh, above all, be mindful of their never-dying soul. Well, thou remember all the sick in the province, we may acknowledge thee, that the numbers are declining, while in other places upon the face of the earth, they seem to be increasing. Well, thou remember all those that work in the medical field, in the fields of emergency. Well, thou be their helper ever near. And Lord, thou knowest under all the difficult circumstances, the difficulties, especially for many of our youth. May thy holy word, may thy word be their guide. Wilt thou grant courage, steadfastness? May their eyes be upon thee. May they be found on their knees, oftentimes begging, that thou may be their helper ever near, and that they may not be ashamed, that they may experience that thou art a wonder-doing God indeed. And for those that may be given to simply trust in thee, oh, what can be tried severely. But, oh Lord, thou art that living God. May we and also in that respect be given to bear one another's burdens. Well, thou remember the nations of the earth. Remember also our nation, where it seems, under all thy callings, and no hearkening to thy callings and to thy word, a further departing from thee, then in this week, a day has been set aside that we may be given to remember all those that have sacrificed their lives, and those that may serve for our country, that we may still have many freedoms to enjoy, but, O Lord, many of those freedoms and liberties for which so much blood was shed, they are being eroded away. Then surely thy judgments are also heavy upon us as a nation. May we be given to see the signs of the times, and, oh Lord, may there be a reformation, and may that begin with us and our children in the midst of thy church, that there may be a departing from evil and worldly ways, and that we may be given to follow hard after thee. Oh, leave and forsake us not. Take not the candlestick of thy holy word from us, but may it burn brighter and brighter. May many souls be added to that number. May thy church be multiplied to that end. Oh, come down with thy Holy Spirit. Well, thou provide for the daily bread in the midst of the family circles, teach us more and more how dependent we are upon thee for everything. May we also, in the way of thy providence, be given oftentimes to see thy hand therein, and may it be thy goodness that bring us many times at thy feet as poor sinners that need to be washed and cleansed in the precious blood of thy dear Son, our Lord. Perhaps a few souls in our midst burdened with their sin, and that do not know how to be saved. Wilt thou then grant ears and hearts to perceive, when in this evening hour we hope to hear of the justification of the sinner. Lord, wilt thou grant thy gracious help, thy spirit in speaking and in listening. Thou knowest how dependent, how poor that we are, but may our eyes be upon thee, be then a surprising God. Forgive us of all of our sins, in Jesus' name, amen. Psalter 142, the stanzas 1, 2, and 3. God, be merciful to me. On thy grace I rest my plea. Plenteous in compassion thou, blot out my transgressions now and what follows. Psalter 142, the first three stanzas. in this evening hour with the help of the Lord. We wish to ask your attention for our Heidelberg Catechism, Lord's Day 23, the question and answers 59, 60, and 61. Question 59, but what doth it profit thee now that thou believest all this? Answer, that I am righteous in Christ before God and an heir of eternal life. Question 60, how art thou righteous before God? Answer, only by a true faith in Jesus Christ, so that, though my conscience accuse me, that I have grossly transgressed all the commandments of God and kept none of them, and am still inclined to all evil, and notwithstanding, God, without any merit of mine, but only of mere grace, grants and imputes to me the perfect satisfaction, righteousness, and holiness of Christ, even so as if I never had had nor committed any sin, yea, as if I had fully accomplished all that obedience which Christ has accomplished for me, insomuch as I embrace such benefit with a believing heart. Question 61. Why sayest thou that thou art righteous by faith only? Answer, not that I am acceptable to God on account of the worthiness of my faith, but because only the satisfaction, righteousness, and holiness of Christ is my righteousness before God, and that I cannot receive and apply the same to myself any other way than by faith only. Lord's Day number 23 speaks of the profit of faith in the justification of the sinner. Four thoughts. First, the blessing of justification. Secondly, the need for justification. Thirdly, the granting of justification. And fourthly, the receiving of justification. The profit of faith and the justification of the sinner. The blessing, the need for, the granting of, and the receiving of justification. Thus first, the blessing of justification. But what doth it profit thee now that thou believest all this? Already in Lord's Day number 7, then there was spoken of the essence of faith. From the Lord's Days number 8 through 22, there was spoken of the 12 articles, a short summary of what the Christian must believe. And now in Lord's Day number 23, Then the question is, what doth it profit thee now that thou believest all this? Thus, already an examination for each and every one of us. What do we believe, congregation? Do we believe in a living God? Do we believe we have heard of profound and precious things where the instructors were given to explain those 12 articles? What doth it profit thee now that thou believest all this? Thus, an examination, whether there may be a little beginning, whether by the work of the Holy Spirit, whether God has become real in our life, and whether we have learned to bow, whether we have become a beggar, whether we have learned that we are a sinner. But this question does not only ask whether there was a beginning, but how far that the child of God may be led. Because it says, the instructors, what doth it profit thee now that thou believest all this? People of God, how far could you go along with our catechism? Were there times that you had to say that now the wagon stands still? And not only with that confession, but that the prayers have been multiplied. Oh Lord, there is so much declared in thy word. The blessings of the covenant of grace. Wilt thou take me by heart and by hand? And wilt thou instruct and lead me further in the mysteries of salvation? But what doth it profit thee now that thou believest all this in daily life? And then many times we consider what profit it is. A farmer in the spring, a businessman, then how busy he is, whether there shall be a profit, and how much profit possibly there can be, of course. There is so much that is not in our hands, but what a figuring there is in this world, in the business world, and in the farming world, whether there shall be a profit for this time. But young and old, are we also busy making those calculations for our never-dying soul? When we consider all our efforts in this life, do we only think of our body and only think of the time? Or do we also ask ourselves, can it now be profitable for our soul? Or that we become so busy that we are busy with the timely things from the morning to the evening and even during the night watches? Do we not read in Matthew 16, verse 26, but what shall it profit a man if he gain the whole world and lose his never-dying soul? Concerning that profit, how it can be a question of Satan, that Satan says, what does it now profit you that you were baptized, that you are in the church? What does it profit you that you faithfully use the means of grace? Oh, what a sharp arrows there can be also for the unconverted, and that we can become so discouraged. But also Satan, what a questions he has for the children of God concerning with everything that they have experienced and also the persecution, because Christ has said in John 15, verse 20, they have persecuted me, they shall also persecute you. But what doth it profit thee now that thou believest all this? And then we can understand, I think, even our boys and girls, that the instructors, that they are speaking of that true saving faith, which they have explained in Lord's Day number 7, could also be asked, is there now a prophet in historical faith? What do you think, congregation? Is there profit for us and our children? Then Paul has written to the Romans much in every way, chiefly because unto the Jews were committed the oracles of God. Oh, that historical faith that can keep us from many sins. And let us always remember, for the sins which we do not commit, and we die unconverted, we shall not be punished for. In Luke 12, I read of those that shall be beaten with double stripes, thus to keep us from many sins. And here for the time when there may be a walking, a close walk, according to that word, even by a historical faith, that the Lord has promised many a blessings for the time, but too short for eternity. But what doth it profit thee now, that thou believest all this? And then the instructor is given to speak of the benefit and the blessing of justification. And we have learned from Reverend Hellenbrook that justification that is to be acquitted from all our guilt and to receive a right to eternal life. And who does the Lord now justify? What do you think, congregation? Who does the Lord now justify? A saint or an ungodly sinner? That is a good question for the daughters of Jerusalem. Who does the Lord now justify? An ungodly one or a sinner or a saint? Ah, then those daughters with their mind, then they know the answer. But in their life, they are so busy. They first want to become a saint and then to be justified. But all the invitations in God's word. Think of that special invitation in Isaiah 1 verse 18. Come, let us reason together, saith the Lord. Though your sins be as scarlet, they shall be white as snow. Though they be red as crimson, they shall be as wool. Do you hear it, daughters of Jerusalem? The Lord justifieth not to come with our sins. No, the Lord shall grant that repentance. But what a lesson to be learned, to be justified as an ungodly one. And then the answer, then there are two blessings. First, that I am righteous in Christ before God becomes the need for a living soul. They learn by the uncovering light of the Holy Spirit that they are unrighteous, that they are unholy. They learn that the Lord can have no communion with sin and with the sinner. The Lord, he must punish all their sins. Oh, a sinner learns that their rightful place is in the bottom of hell. But on account of that love, they are given to beg the Lord, whether for such a sinner or whether there is a way that they may be restored into that blessed communion. Thus, for a sinner with a burden of sin upon their back, with a heavily high debt, are there such souls in my midst that have learned that heavily high debt? They have tried so hard to pay, sometime by day and by night, sometime a little hope that the Lord would be happy with them, when they may receive tokens. Then there are times that the love may seem to cover all their debt, but they shall experience still on their account. Unrighteous cannot appear before their God, and no continuing city traveling to eternity, they shall have to give an account. But now the profit of this true saving faith, to believe in the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost, that I am righteous before God, and how that is through that precious Savior, that is through the Lord Jesus Christ, that I am righteous in Christ before God and an heir of eternal life. To be an heir, then we need to be a child of the family to be included in that testament, and that is by regeneration. Thus, two benefits. The first, the pardoning of sin, that speaks of the perfect satisfaction, the passive obedience that Christ, that he has suffered and died, that he has satisfied justice, and so the sinner may be righteous in Christ. And the second, that is through the active obedience of Christ, that he has obeyed the law perfectly, because they read in the book of Leviticus, do this and thou shalt live. And now that righteousness and holiness that may be imputed to the church. Our second thought, the need for justification. And then the question, many times the questions in the catechism, they refer to the former answer. Then they have heard a special answer that I am righteous in Christ before God and an heir of eternal life. And now in question 60, then there is asked, how art thou righteous before God? And then only by a true faith in Jesus Christ. And then there is spoken of that need for justification. Thus in this answer we have heard of the tribunal before that Christ was placed. Also a tribunal when Christ comes to judge the quick and the dead. And now also in this answer, then we read of a tribunal. And now that tribunal, when is that set up? In the heart of a child of God, that is set up in the moment of regeneration. Then such a one, by the instruction, the enlightening, and the uncovering of the Holy Spirit, then they learn who God is in the beginning in a small way, but more and more, then they are given to adore and worship him in all his attributes, also in the attribute of his holiness and of his righteousness. Thus that is the beginning in the moment of regeneration. Then they have to do with their judge, and then they learn that they are a very guilty sinner, And then they learned that the Lord is high and lifted up, majestic, glorious, and that he is so righteous that he cannot overlook one of my sins. Then they are given to confess, oh, they would not desire another God, but they need another person, a person that sins no more, that may grieve the Lord no more. Thus in this answer of justification, and when we read of the judge, because we must remember in the economy of the Trinity of the three persons, then the Father upholds his justice, and then he demands perfect obedience. And now in this Lord's Day, then it speaks. Reverend Hogalanti says it so sweetly and so nicely, that many of God's people, that they have an ongoing court case. Many times they come in the court. There's a privilege when the advocate may be revealed, when they may be given to see that he has never lost the case. It is a blessing when they may receive an encouragement, a promise. But now in this Lord's Day, then we have a condemned sinner that has no rights, that he is called to appear before the judge and to pay what he owes, and a sinner that has not a penny to pay. And then we read the instructors, so that then there are those accusers, though my conscience accuse me that I have transgressed all the commandments of God. Thus transgressors, broken the commandments, have not obeyed them, as sins of commission and sins of omission, that the law condemns them. Transgressors must die. Do we not read in Galatians 3 verse 10, cursed is everyone that continueth not in all things that are written in the book of the law to do them. Thus the law, the conscience tells that it is so. And we have heard last week from Zechariah 3 that Satan is also accused. Does not say that Satan was telling lies when he has said that Joshua the high priest had filthy garments. Thus, a sinner accused before the tribunal of God. In this Lord's Day, we do not have a sinner that is coming with all their experiences, cannot be missed, congregation. Because when the Lord works, we shall experience much. Oh, we shall weep many tears. We shall sigh and we shall cry. We shall beg for his favor. That is a sinner that needs to be saved. Because if they are not saved, they shall be eternally condemned. But in this Lord's Day, then we do not read of a sinner that has come with his experience. Then we do not read of a sinner that is excusing himself. And no, we read of a very guilty sinner. And we do not read of an improved sinner. Because the instructors, oh, each time by renewal, we can read that they were on the right school, that they have experienced the things which they have written of, and then they have added, and am still inclined to all evil. Thus we would say a hopeless case, a sinner that is given to confess that he shall never be able to improve himself and never to pay that debt. We have already heard of the same in Lord's Day. The former Lord's Day 21, question 56, what believest thou concerning the forgiveness of sins? That God, for the sake of Christ's satisfaction, will no more remember my sins, neither my corrupt nature, against which I have to struggle all my life long. Thus, in Lord's Day number 21, when it speaks of the benefit of forgiveness of sin, which the Spirit applies to his church, and also in Lord's Day 23, a sinner arrayed before the judge that he is given to confess and am still inclined to all evil. May that grant a little courage for seeking souls where it seems that it is only becoming worse. Thus, it is clear in this Lord's Day, a sinner that is worked out, that is talked out, that is given to bow under God's justice, given to agree with that justice, and that is a place where a child of God cannot bring himself, but that is the place where they need to be brought by the work of the Holy Spirit. We read in Romans 3 verse 19, that every mouth may be stopped and all the world may become guilty before God. We read in Micah 7 verse 9, I will bear the indignation of the Lord because I have sinned against him until he plead my cause and bring me forth to judgment. He shall bring me to the light and I shall behold his righteousness. What a lesson for the child of God to learn. To lose our lives that we may gain it in another. Thirdly, the granting of justification. Let us first sing Psalter 231, the stanzas 1 and 3. Lord, thou hast favor shown thy land, restored again thy captive band, thy people's sins thou pardoned hast, and all their guilt has covered over. And what follows, 231, 1 and 3. the prophet of faith and the justification of the sinner. The blessing of justification. The need for justification. And now thirdly, the granting of justification. Then the instructors have further said, notwithstanding God, that word notwithstanding, that totally excludes man. We have learned from Reverend Hellenbrook that justification that is a pronouncement and a work outside of us. Then the instructors by renewal. That was the desire of the reformers to extol free and sovereign grace. And therefore the instructors have said, notwithstanding God, then we speak of the Father upholding justice. It is true. In the scripture we find places that the Son is given to speak on behalf of the Father, especially when he has dwelt upon this earth, and that the Holy Spirit that he is given to make known the pronouncement of the Father. But notwithstanding God, and then by renewal, without any merit of mine, the church learns that they have merited, Romans 6, verse 23, the wages of sin is death in our Lord's day. We have a guilty, a silent sinner that is perishing, has deserved hell. 1,000 times hell has been opened for the sinner. But now the wonder, there is an advocate. We read of that advocate in 1 John 2 verse 1. We have an advocate with the Father, and therefore, without any merit of mine, nothing can be added. Nothing need be added, and nothing shall be added. What a difficult lesson for a sinner that is so bound up in that covenant of works. But that is now the wonder of the church, because the church learns, if anything had to be added from my side, it would be eternally lost. Thus, the instructors, they are given to emphasize it twice, without any merit of mine, but only of mere grace, without money and without price, free salvation. And then grants, gives freely, and imputes to me the perfect satisfaction, righteousness, and holiness of Christ. Thus the Father, he pronounces the sinner free, imputes, that is to put in one account, that is to ascribe. Oh, blessed exchange for a lost, hell-worthy sinner, that to advocate the Son of God, that he has taken all their sins, past, present, future sins upon him. He has paid the price, and in exchange, that the sinner imputes to me the perfect satisfaction, the suffering and death of Christ. Ah, he has died for his church. He has suffered for them. He has satisfied justice, righteousness, and holiness of Christ. That is the wonder of justification. Reverend Kirsten, and our older ministers, they have stressed to the Church of God that they may more earnestly strive and seek for this blessing to receive the perfect justification. We have many examples in the Bible, Jacob at Peniel, where he was given to see God face to face. He received a new name. We have heard out of Job that Elihu has spoken of these matters. If there be a messenger with him, an interpreter, one among a thousand, that is the chiefest among 10,000s, to show unto man his uprightness, then he is gracious unto him and saith, deliver him from going down to the pit. I have found a ransom. His flesh shall be fresher than a child's. He shall return to the days of his youth in justification. Then the sinner receives more than an Adam has possessed, because Adam, he had to labor, to work, to merit eternal life. But now for the sinner in our Lord's day, and then the instructors, they are given to speak of wonderful things. We have started telling a few examples. We could tell more. We should leave it lie for tonight. Let us only mention Hezekiah, that God-fearing Hezekiah, with his reformation at Passover, where he was given to look upon that blood that pointed to the Lord Jesus Christ. But in Isaiah 38, with everything that he has experienced, he could not appear before the Lord. The old people of God say, then the child of God doeth well when he may lay his experience beside death. Can he appear before his Maker? How is it with their sins? Are they still on his account, or have they freely been pardoned? But now that Hezekiah, when he received the message, set thy house in order, for thou shalt die and not live. Then he has received Lord's Day number 23 and given to declare that the Lord has cast all his sins behind his back. And then the instructors, they were given to speak, even so that the acquitted sinner, when the Lord may speak, as if I never had nor committed any sin, yea, as if I had fully accomplished all that obedience which Christ has accomplished for me, should it not arouse to a holy jealousy? What a blessed state! What a blessed condition! As if I never had. That sinner, he can look for his sins, try to feel his burden, but it is vanished, it is gone. They have been washed through the meritorial work of that advocate, the Lord Jesus Christ, who has paid that ransom. How is that possible? Because of another court case, Christ, before Pontius Pilate, who was judged on behalf of his Father, and there that precious Christ has stood with all the sins of his people upon his account, and yet he was innocent, the innocent Lamb of God. But because of the transgressions of his people, then he was judged, he was led to the cross. Behold, the Lamb of God that taketh away the sins of the world. to that end, as if I never had nor committed any sin, the wonders of grace, in as much as I embrace such benefit with a believing heart. The instructors first speak of an imputation, of a pronouncement, and then, inasmuch as I embrace such benefit with a believing heart, that is the hand of true saving faith, and therefore the instructors had another question, and that is our forethought, the receiving of justification. Why sayest thou that thou art righteous by faith only? And this is an answer against the Arminian. They make faith a work, and they put value upon that faith, that free will faith, that they are given to take what the Lord declares in his word. To make it simple for our children, then we have told you that faith, that it is as a hand which the Lord grants to his people in the moment of regeneration and in the exercise thereof by the immediate working of the Holy Spirit. And then a sinner learns that it is an empty hand. Then they learn that it is a filthy hand. But by the work of the Holy Spirit, to receive something in a hand, then it has to be given. Our children can understand it, and so it is also in the way of grace. What the Lord grants, what the Lord speaks, that a child of God may embrace by that true saving faith, and in that way receive the comfort of that particular blessing. Thus, then the instructors are making it clear that faith, that is no merit in salvation, and not that I am acceptable to God on account of the worthiness of my faith, but because only the satisfaction, righteousness, and holiness of Christ is my righteousness before God that is the Father, and that I cannot receive and apply the same to myself any other way than by faith only. Thus the instructors are stressing that faith is a gift of God, a given to the child by the Spirit, and each time by the immediate working of the Holy Spirit. And now the Lord does not only grant that imputation, that pronouncement, but that they may embrace it by a true saving faith, inasmuch as I embrace such benefit with a believing heart. And when we read that statement, then we may understand it insofar that I may embrace that benefit that is also the work of the Lord. Oh, the Lord, he does a perfect work, because when he pronounces and when he imputes, then he shall also grant that true saving faith, that he may embrace that pronouncement, that they have been set free. And now in justification, let us always remember that their justification is perfect. Thus no steps in justification, but we may speak in steps of the knowledge of justification. And in each act of faith, then there is a certain assurance also concerning that precious mediator, and insofar that they may be instructed, because when the instructors say, inasmuch as I embrace such benefit, then the true child of God, they can only embrace what has been revealed unto them and what is granted by the application of the Holy Spirit. Thus, when we speak of steps of the knowledge of justification, oh, when it pleases the Spirit to open the gospel for poor and for needy sinners, that have learned that they can never be saved by their works, when they may be given to behold him that is white and ruddy, then they may be given to embrace him and a certain assurance. Oh, then they may receive a hope that he is sufficient to save to the uttermost, even a sinner as they. Let us mention that woman with the issue of blood. Ah, she went to many doctors. She grew worse. I hope that there are souls in such a condition in my midst, and that your money is running out, that you have no more to pay. But then we read simply that she heard of Jesus. Oh, when the child of God may be given to hear of that precious mediator, when it may be declared how sufficient he is to save even the chiefest of sinners, then they may embrace it by faith and receive a certain comfort. But that woman, she first went through the crowd against the law, touched his garment, and then further, what a blessing that Jesus has turned himself back around and said, "Who touched me?" And then she came a trembling and told him all the truth. And then she heard that confirmation, "Be of good." Then she was called the daughter of Abram. Her faith has made thee whole. What a rich blessing in this Lord's day. The forgiveness of sins. And that is what we all need, congregation. How is it with our sins? Do we think often of them? The evening when we bow our knees, do we confess them? Not in general, but in particular, have we learned the exceeding sinfulness of sin, and that it causes separation? Have we become active with our sins? Or do we try to drive those thoughts in the foreground? And that we live from day to day, from week to week, book is only becoming thicker. A just God in heaven that sees everything. Oh, have we become troubled therewith? My unconverted fellow travelers, how shall you do with your sin when the Lord sends the angel of death and says, "Sinner, give an account of your sins"? How shall we then do? And then you know we have not become converted. Then it shall be forever and forever too late. In hell, there shall never come a gospel preacher to declare the wonderful things of Lord's Day number 23. Ah, when we have lived under the truth, shall make her condemnation the heavier, people of God. Lord's Day number 23, the justification, the full acquittal of the sinner. The judge speaks through the advocate made known by the Holy Spirit. I repeat it. Reverend Kirsten has also stressed different times the necessity that the child of God may be given to strive for the experience of this Lord's Day, then we may speak of a change of state, that the daughters of Jerusalem, that they may become a bride because in marriage, then the bridegroom, on account of love for his bride, Then he takes over all the debt of the bride, and then the riches of the groom, they become the portion of the bride. Blessed is that people whose sins are forgiven. Ah, the church is given to learn what we read in Ephesians 2, verse 8. By grace are ye saved through faith, and that not of yourself. It is a gift of God. Amen. Let us close. Our Lord, may thy children be stirred up to a holy jealousy and an asking of thee to experience what we have heard from the instructors of our Heidelberg Catechism, based upon thy holy word, the acquittal and the justification of the sinner, that the truth may set them free and to receive a right to eternal life. Thou was given that we may commence another week. We may thank thee for another Lord's Day and a few words to speak, O Lord. Well, thou be the after preacher. Well, thou grant the application. May we be given to think of all of our sins and where they are. They need to be pardoned, Lord. Grant a prayer for one another. Well, thou remember the mothers in the home with the children, the daytime, the night watches. Well, thou remember all at work. Remember with the studies. Well, thou remember on the way. Then thou wast crowned today with thy goodness. Well, thou also be the faithful keeper Israel in this night. And wilt thou remember all the labors. Help with the catechism classes, the confession of faith class. Wilt thou gather with the consistory when they hope to meet. Bring the congregation together for a weekday service on a special day when we are called to remember all the sacrifices that have been sacrificed for the liberties that we may still largely enjoy. Then it is also necessary that it may be a day of repentance and a day of much prayer. Well, thou now keep us safely over the unsafe roads. Forgive us of all of our sins in Jesus' name. Amen. Our closing Psalter, Psalter 83, the three stanzas. Blessed, how blessed is he whose trespass hath freely been forgiven, whose sin is wholly covered before the sight of heaven. And what follows, Psalter 83, the three stanzas. receive the blessing of the Lord and depart in peace. The Lord bless thee and keep thee. The Lord make his face shine upon thee and be gracious unto thee. The Lord lift up his countenance upon thee and give thee peace. Amen.